Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Okay, let me ask you. We started the service off with testimonies, and I had a certain direction that I thought I was going to go this morning, but I'm not. How many know that verse that says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb? Maybe the media person back there could find it and put it on the screen. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. How many have heard that verse before? Yeah, I'm just such a good pastor, I can't even tell you where it is. I know it's in Revelation.
Revelation 12.
That's it, yeah. But I was talking to the Spirit of God the other day, and talking to him about 2017. Thank you. And he reminded me of that verse. And then, so I knew the verse, so I did just what you did. I went through it in my head. You know, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And he brought to my attention something I could honestly say I really had thought about. And he said, can you see there that it's the word of their testimony that makes them overcomers? He said, my DNA is to make you overcomers. We were talking about Best Life Church, and he said, my DNA, my bend is to make them overcomers. He said, so you got to give them an opportunity for me to give them a testimony. And the more opportunities you give me to give them a testimony, the more they'll be rooted and grounded as an overcomer in their own thought process. So this morning we started the service, and Greg brought out some things, which I think is a fantastic idea. I want to challenge everybody in this room, if you're not doing that, make a jar and just look on little pieces of paper, write down every time God comes through for you in some way this year. I'm going to say this next year, that'd be 2018. This year, and put it in that jar, and then at the end of the year, recount those things that he's done for you that year. I don't know about you folks, but I'm pretty much done with going through the motions. You know, we've made this thing called Christianity, but really it's just something that we're comfortable with. You know, to us, and I understand I'm speaking in generalities here, because it's certainly not broad brush to everybody, but we immediately seek for the comfortable place. And if that means Christianity to us is listening to a DVD, then that's what we do. But how many know there are things in God you will never, 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 never learn unless you're not out there walking with him in the moment? And he never designed for us to just sit around, find the comfortable place, whatever that is for you, and say that's what Christianity is all about. Because you're missing probably 90% of what he wants to show you about him is OJT. Not on the couch. Not in the car. Not with the DVD player going, with the MP3 player going. And I got a bunch of those. My phone is full of them. In fact, I got no more memory on my phone because I got so many recordings. So I do that thing, but understand there are things that he wants to show us as his body. The body ought to know what the head's thinking. So this next year, I'm just kind of off on a tangent here, but oh well. This next year, understand this, that Father wants to bring us as individuals to a place where you've done what you never did before. And he wants to bring you to a place where what you used to think was a monumental, huge thing is now such a casual thing that it was like you couldn't even imagine your life without it. And I promise you, he's going to challenge your thinking. There's a whole lot of mess in the body of Christ right now that we've called Jesus, and it's just not in the way we think. And I promise you, this is what I love about the local church. The local church, what if we didn't have the local church? Think about this, guys. What if we didn't have the local church? All of a sudden, poof, no local churches at all. You know what would happen? People will be thrilled. You know why? Because there's nothing to check their heart. And they would just go off of what the Jesus they had in their head. And there's nothing to check that. So you understand this. If you don't learn anything from me, learn this, that the local church is what God is all about. And the local church was put in place not just for a place for us to be raised up, grown up, taught, matured into the fullness of Christ, but also to check our hearts. And I'm talking about me too. Because what's the one thing people don't like to do? Well, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, listen to others, but also submit to leadership. See, when you got a mental Jesus, and I don't mean to make light of that, because I'm not saying that nobody hears from the Lord, but when you have a, you know, keep in mind the Word of God still talks about, Paul still wrote about, you are not going to act up on me today. Paul wrote about the fivefold ministry. Remember what those are? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Pastor, teacher could be one office, because actually in the Greek they actually connected together, but they don't have to be. So whether you want to say four or five, notice Paul, through the Holy Spirit, still mentioned those offices in the body of Christ. Those offices in the body of Christ are designed to bring the body into a maturity that it cannot get to without them. Did you hear what I just said? Who put the fivefold ministry in the body? Jesus. Because 1 Corinthians says that he's the administer of the church. And he put the fivefold ministry, apostle, those offices, those people that stand in those offices, in the body. So he never designed for the body to function out from under those offices. And so there's a level of maturity that the body will never be able to reach without submitting to one of those, or all of those. Right? Why is that? Because it's a heart check. We'll never mature into the fullness of the head without allowing him to challenge what's in our hearts. This is where we get into problems in the body of Christ, because everybody has their own version of Jesus, and you know, how dare you question how I hear him? Well, I'm not qualified, because I'm not in on those conversations, just like you're not in on the conversations he has with me. But understand this, there are conversations that he has with me, because I stand in this office, that he'll never have with you. Because he's made me liable for where this church goes and what he wants to do in this church. I don't know how I got off on that, but I'm just talking about 2017. And the fact that we have to understand, and I believe this year he wants to change the hearts of people in this area, because the body of Christ has got to get all the ones that are disjointed back into joint. You know, I know where we're coming from. You know, I have heard what the general sentiments are around the valley and around, you know, just in people's thought processes. But maybe the reason that people have adopted the mindset of the local church being not useful, not needed, is because A, that's where they got hurt, or B, it hasn't come into the fullness that feeds their hunger yet. But I promise you, in 2017, this is where he wants to take us. People aren't disgruntled with Jesus. They're disgruntled with what they thought was supposed to be, and it's not happening. So then let's let him allow us to be a part of that, and let him develop us in these areas so that it begins to be happening. Amen? So the Holy Spirit said, you've got to allow me to give them a testimony so that I can do what I want to do, and that is make them be overcomers, because by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcome. So we started the service off with someone recounting all of the things that God has done, or not all of the things, but some of the things that God has done in their lives in 2016. And the Spirit of God says, there's more here. Let him come up and tell us what I've done for him. So we're gonna trash what I thought I was going to do, and we're just going to listen to what God's done for us in 2016. You may be sitting there saying, well, I don't have nothing. That's because the pump hasn't been primed yet. We'll get that primed and you'll have so much stuff. I'll have to take the microphone away from you. But I can tell you this. You know, brother, you talked about getting out of debt. I just want to tell you, he got us out of debt in a certain area of our life. I owed a lot of money. And we were able to get out of debt, you know, for less than what we owed. They just said, hey, you know, if you can pay us this, we'll call it done. I said, I got it right here. So he's getting he got me out of debt in an area that I thought was going to be years, and still working on that. I confess every day of my life, Father, I thank you that you bring us out of Egypt, us in Best Life Church. that you bring us out of Egypt with our heads held high. I'm sitting in a Christmas service. I guess I'm testifying right now. I'm sitting in a Christmas service. And the preacher says, he quotes the verse that was about, it was prophetic about it, Jesus. And it said, out of Egypt I've called my son. Remember when Jesus went down to Egypt with his family, you know, to get away from the bonehead leader? And he read that verse and he said, out of Egypt I've called my son. I heard that verse and I leaned over to Shelby and says, look, us being out of Egypt as a body has been ordained by the foundation of the world. And I'm going to declare it right now. 2017 is the year that he brings you out of Egypt, because he's already ordained that to be. So what else did he do for us? Yeah, I'm not married to anybody else. Okay, anybody else? Who's got something? Is there a microphone? If I hold this up, everybody's going to come running. It's not a golden mic, but it's pretty good. Who's got something? God's done nothing for anybody the whole year 2016. Greg's prime.
Well, I can think of a gazillion things. I just went through that jar. But it's something that just popped into my head regarding my business, is I've really been praying about succession planning. Lord, what should I do? You know, I've got about 10 years left to work in the business until God calls me to do something else. And but I don't know what to do with this business. Can I sell it? What can I do with it? So I actually started talking to a holding company about buying the business, and I'd sent out all my valuations on the business, and in between the time that I sent the valuation and they gave me an offer, my son came to me and said, Mom, I think I'm ready. I'd like to take over the business. And I said, hallelujah, because I had been praying. That's what I wanted. I wanted to give the business to my kids, and I did, but nobody had interest. And suddenly God just knocked him up the side of the head, and he got it. So we have a 3 to 5 year plan for him to take over the business. Very exciting.
Very cool. You just pass that microphone
around.
All right,
here you go, Brett. You got one.
Well, once everybody knows by now, but so for actually about 3 years, I've been looking for a new job. About a week after I started the one I had. So, so I just finally felt time that it was really time to actually move on. And it's not every now and then. Sometimes I have desires to move on to something new, but every once in a while, finally it hits me just at such a deep level. I'm like, okay, now it's actually time to do something about it. You know, time to actually get serious about moving on. And that's happened before about my old truck. If anybody remembers that thing, it was in the shop every 2 weeks. And this was actually about, not this year, but the year before. But I always thought, man, I need to get this car replaced. I need to get this car replaced. And then one day, after it was already fixed, I was just driving fine. I was just driving home. I thought, I absolutely need to get replaced right now. And that weekend, I actually got a really good deal lined up with somebody and got my Toyota that I have now. And by the time I got my car, my old truck, into my mechanic shop, he's like, well, it's good you brought it into me when you did, because the engine's just about to die. I'm like, oh. Well, it felt like it was running fine. He's like, I know it felt like it was running fine, but I looked in there, it's not. So it's just one of those things. But even with this new job, I've been looking for a while. And I remember one day I was just so stressed out with what I was going through at work. And I basically was just had to go into a room by myself, and I was just praying. I'm like, God, please help me do something new, because I can't take this anymore. This is just driving me crazy. And as I came out, my boss saw me, he called me into the office. He's like, hey, Brett, by the way, I'm going to have to let you go. And I'm like, oh, well, that was quick. You know? And so, but you know what? I like you, and you've done a lot of work here. So I want to work with you and let you still work here for a while, but just have you start looking for other things. And even after that point where I had been looking, and nobody was hiring, because it was mid-year, and every other company already had all their plans already set. He's like, well, you know, how about you can work here part-time too, which is even better then, because then I got to spend less time around that stressful environment. But I had been praying the whole time, like, well, God, I really don't know what you want me to do yet. I'm still just going to trust you to keep the right doors open and the wrong doors closed. And so I had gone to a lot of places, and I was starting to get a little discouraged, because there were so many places I went to that seemed like absolute perfect fits. They would always just crumble apart at the last minute. So finally I got on track with this one company that I actually thought was pretty cool, and they liked me and I liked them. And we were pretty close to getting something put together, but they were having some difficulties on their end. So during that time, when we were kind of waiting to hear back from each other, within one day, I got it was kind of like just a whirlwind of activity. One night, I get a message, hey, we're actually having interviews for this other company tomorrow morning. Can you still make it? I'm like, that's really short notice, but I'll try. I met with them, and the guy that I interviewed with, he says, by the way, you're the last person we interviewed with, and I can tell you, you're the one we want. And so they said that out of everything that I'd done for my previous job, they said, we think that makes you the perfect candidate for this position. And so even though this other company still liked me on this one, they just were just so highly interested. I just felt, well, this is obviously the place. And so that's why I start on Tuesday. So.
All right. Good.
I'm not sure I need the microphone. I talk so loud. So I don't know if everyone knows, but I go to CBC in Tempe, and I'm in my second year. And in order for me to get there, I had worked at a church before, and so I am totally left with hurt issues and stuff like that. So, but I remember it wasn't last New Year's, but I think it was the New Year's before. Rich and I, or it was New Year's Day or whatever, Rich and I were at a different church, and this is before I started CBC, and I just remember crying and being all, hurt about it and stuff. And I remember the Lord clearly saying to me, does that mean you're not going to serve me anymore? And I was like, whoa. And so I was like, nope, that's not what that means. And so then I went up and helped my son. And when I came back, Rich said, the Lord told me you need to go to CBC, because I had been wanting to go there and been praying about it. How do I do that? I'm not so great on working a full-time job and go to school, and my daughters were still at home and stuff. So anyways, lost that job and was able to go there. So went through that, and one of the things also through my life that I've been praying is I just really want to go to Israel sometime. I just really want to go. I really want to go. I would say that, but never thought it was possible because it's so expensive, and always something else happening. You know what I mean? So then, when I'm at CBC, one of the things you have to do is go on a mission trip. I love missionaries. I support missionaries. I do not want to go to a third world country and eat weird food and have to deal with bugs. And
what is this?
I totally have negative about it. So last year, CBC went to, Panama or some Ecuador. I'm like, ooh, glad it's not mine. So the people who ran CBC left, and they moved to Panama. And we have a new CBC director, and she said, okay, all you second years, we're going to England. I was like, yes, Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, it's like normal. You know what I mean? And then after all that was settled, my mom and Rich and I went, I met a girl, or reacquainted myself with a girl I went to high school with, who is Jew, but a Christian, a Messianic Jew. So anyways, I ran into her, and she does Israel tours. So every year she would text me and say, do you want to come see, la, la, la. But it was always like, no, I'm sorry, my daughter's getting married, or, whatever. So this year she texted, and I mentioned it to Rich, and my mom overheard, and she goes, well, I want to go listen. And I said, awesome. So we went, and we listened, and my mom goes, we're going. So we're going to Israel, too.
Praise the Lord.
So that's what the Lord did for me this year. I was so excited to have a normal missionary trip. Even though I don't like to fly, and she went for the cheapest flights, and we have 3 stops there and 3 stops back, and I get home, and 3 days later go to Israel. So, I was like, well, I'm just going to trust you, Lord, that it's going to work out, and I'm not going to be all time-sensitive, crazy, of stuff. Because truthfully, and I pray about this a lot, but I have a hard time sleeping. I have to take Benadryl at night to go to sleep. I don't do well in weird beds. My body gets all backed up, and everything is a challenge. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, okay, well, this is, let's see. My mission trip is March, 15th. For 2 weeks or 10 days, get home. I'm home for 2.5 days or 3 days, and then we leave at the end March 27th through April 8th, something like that. So, and then also Rich is starting Bible school on Tuesday.
Hey, all right.
And I've been talking to him for a while. I was like, you sure you don't want to do it? He goes, I don't want to work and go to school and la, la, la. And I said, okay. And so I'd leave it like that. Yeah. And then, same, my same issue, because it is, you know, when I first went there, I was overwhelmed thinking, oh my gosh, homework, I was never a really good student, you know, and everything. And so I told him, I said, it is overwhelming, but once you go and you get a routine, it's pretty easy, you know. And Deanne, the new lady, and then we have my mom living with us too. And so that was always a big challenge financially. How are we going to do this? I really should go back to work, but then my mom moved in, so my mom's helping us a little bit, so I don't have to do that, and I can finish school full time. And so then I said to Rich, well, you know, it will take him 4 years part time, and then he wants to retire, so I'll be done with my third year. He'll be going into his third year, and then we can go do whatever we're supposed to do. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, other than it was a desire of my heart, so I knew the Lord wanted me to go, whether it's for my own personal spiritual growth, you know, and then, I don't know. And I also wanted to mention, too, that when you were talking about doing things, have you ever seen that movie, and then also the one you're going to show us with Todd White called Father of Lights? Or there's a new one out called The Reformation, and it's some guy in Holland that put it together. And basically, I was watching it, and it came up, and he said something like, Catholic Church made an institution. The Protestant Church made a club or something like that. But it gives all these things, and then it goes out, and it shows pretty much the same thing, like Father of Lights. So we're supposed to walk out every day and say, what's your issue? Let me pray for you. You're healed. And I'm like, wow, you know? Then when the Lord gives me the opportunity, it's like, I'm scared. I can't do it. So yeah. How do you get over that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to share something?
How long do I have, Dan?
5 minutes.
So I'll start back in 1970. I have to take you back there. Some of you might know this, but I know, Dan, you know this. Shelby, you might. But after I graduated from high school, during my senior year, I had 5 different scholarships to play sports. And I thought I was going to be an athlete in college. So I became an athlete in the Catholic seminary. So I was called by the Lord to go to seminary school. And I had help getting in there because I wasn't the brightest tool in the shed and the sharpest tool in the shed. I spent my junior and senior year playing basketball and baseball. After my sophomore year, my football career was over when the surgeon told me that if you continue to play, you might not walk again. And then this guy was an orthopedic surgeon, played for the Chicago Bears. So I walked away from a sport that I really loved, even to this day. I'm probably addicted to watching football, for whatever the reason. So I entered the seminary, and I stayed there for 3.5 years. And I was raised Catholic, which is another whole story that we can share at another time. I don't know if any of you have been down that road. And I won't take the time to share today. So after 3.5 years, I walked away from something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life because I've been a server all my life. My gift is service to Almighty God. So I walked away when I got in an argument with a Jesuit priest who was our professor. We wanted to talk about birth control and premarital sex and divorce and abortion, homosexuality, and he didn't want to because he swept it under the rug. So at 19 years old, I challenged him in front of a class. So he asked me to leave. So I stayed for about 6 more months and contacted. I had a lot of folks that I knew and a lot of priest friends and sisters, nuns. And I knew in my heart it was time to leave. My dad was a convert to Catholicism. My mother was tickled to death when I left. And this was in 1973. So since 1973, I don't know the exact amount of times, but I'd be willing to bet the Lord has called me 15 times in all those years. And I've said no to him 15 times. And knowing that I wanted to serve, I still said no. I'm sure many of you have been in a situation where we make excuses for something that we don't want to do. Whether we don't think we're equipped, whether we're educated, whether we can deal with it. So last year, he was really nudging on me. Kim and I have been involved, well, Kim more so than I, with Andrew Womack Ministries probably for 5 or 6 years. We've been going, and I love the guy to death because he's honest and he tells it exactly like it is with some diplomacy, which I really appreciate. That's one thing that I've always tried to do is be diplomatic. That's one thing the business world in 43 years has taught me, because I've always had jobs that I've serviced people, whether it's been a cop, whether it's been a sheriff, whether it's been an auto body repair, whether it was in LifeLock dealing with people. I've always been in customer service, even in the seminary, right, Dan? It's all about customer service. So, but this year, more than anything, early after 2016 took its place, 3 days in, I already dropped my New Year's resolution of losing 50 pounds and getting healthier. Because it was easy for me not to do it and not to be dedicated and not to commit to do it and not to have that dedication. And I wanted to read the Bible more. And you know what? It was easier for me to watch football. Or it was easier for me now that I'm getting older and can't do what I used to do when I was 25, 35, 45, 55, 65. So this year I've made the commitment. And I'm going to wind up losing 50 pounds, and I'm going to wind up going to school. It's not going to be easy. I do still work a full-time job, although it is probably the easiest job I've ever had in my entire life. No stress, no hassle, no aggravation, no direct reports. I don't have 253 people reporting to me any longer, or 14 managers. And so it has become a little easier. So about 6 or 7 months ago, Kim said to me, don't you think you might be interested? And no, I'm not interested. I'm not ready yet. And it was probably about maybe 30 days ago. We were on the phone talking. I think I just checked into the day to see how things were going. And she said to me, I really think that you need to go to Karis. And you remember that conversation? And it was very quick because I made it quick. And I probably owe her an apology. Because I am not ready to go, even today. I'm not ready. I'm tired at the end of the day. Yes, it is part-time. But I think more than anything, I'm going to have to give up some things that I really like. Because God is really working on me. Last year I prayed for us to find a church home that we could feel comfortable with. Along and behold, Kim comes home and says, hey, I found this little church. This guy is a professor at Karis Bible College, and I really like the guy. His wife's a pastor. So we came here. We sat right there in these two seats, and I'm looking at Dan up there, and I'm thinking, you know what? I know this guy. And I couldn't put my finger on it for the life of me. We came back 2 or 3 Sundays. I said to Kim, I know him. I'm really? Where do you think you might know him from? You don't go to Karis. And I had no idea. Long and behold, I did some cleaning out at home, and I came across Dan's business card when he used to have a business and came to see different body shop owners. Remember that?
Dan came up to me and said, I know your husband, Dan Audubon. And I said, yes. He said, yeah, I knew him. And I said, oh, I hope he was nice to you.
And I will tell you, Dan never pushed, never pressured, never did anything. I think I wound up buying a couple things from you. At least I thought. Maybe not. Did I?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
of course it is.
Forward,
and interestingly enough, here we are today. And, you know, God is good. He does answer. He truly answers. I have a lot to be grateful for. I really do enjoy the job. I was only going to work to 68, and now I think I might push it a little bit longer so I can go to school. There's still some things that Kim and I want to do. We're blessed with 3 grandkids, 2 boys and a girl. Our son's in the military. Our middle daughter is in graduate school with her husband, Jack, at NAU. Emily, the third one, we're praying for. Her and Miguel, her boyfriend. So there's a lot to be grateful for and thankful for. And I'm thankful for all you folks. Some of you I don't really know well. But I would agree with Dan. As a matter of fact, I told Dan this. It's not his job to worry about how many people are in these seats. It's his job to stand there and preach what Almighty God wants him to preach and share with us. It's up to God to bring the people into this church. And the thing that I really appreciate about Dan and Shelby is they're very honest, they're very educated, and they share God's word. Whether it's supporting it with the Greek and the Hebrew, and plus he believes in Womack. So I appreciate you know the opportunities, and it's been a true blessing. So thank you for allowing me to share.
And I just just want to say, too, that, you know, Rich and I came from a church where they totally pander to the money givers versus we're here to speak to the people that the Lord has placed in front of us today. You know what I mean? So to me, that was important, too. And that was one of the things that Rich and I were, you know, excited about. And even though we have so much going on, you know, all the time, and now we have my mom to take care of also, I do honestly believe that the Lord still continues to, even if you say no, or I'm scared, or I can't do that today, or whatever, he keeps working, and he is faithful to bring it about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to, before you move on, I just want to share this Proverbs 24, primarily verse 3, but 4 and 5 is good too. Proverbs 24:3, and I shared this with Greg and Connie this last week. It says this in the Passion Translation: wise people are builders. They build families, businesses, communities, and through intelligence and insight, their enterprises are established and endure. And when I saw that, the Spirit of God said, I want to raise up a church of wise people. Not everybody's called to stand in, you know, as a pastor or a prayer, you know, whatever. That doesn't matter. The fact is if he can just raise up wise people that understand that what this verse says, wise people are builders. If you're a family builder, build your family. If you're a business builder, build your business. You know, he's called us to build a community. But understand that that means he's called us to build that community. And he's telling us up front that if you want to know what wisdom looks like, this is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So I started off by kind of presenting some challenges in 2017, but understand that he's not asking us, and this goes for you too, he's not asking us to step someplace and stand someplace that he's not already made the equipping available. I talked to an individual this last week over the Christmas holidays who's really understanding. They're on staff at a church, and they're in a supportive role, but they understand that God's tapped them on the shoulder and called them to stand as a senior pastor, and they're scared out of their minds. And I told them, I said, you need to understand something, that when you step over into where you're supposed to be, there's an empowerment and a presence of him that is there that you're not experiencing here. But you won't experience it until you allow yourself to step there. Then you'll hear what others are not hearing, and you'll see what others are not seeing. But he's got to get us willing to just take the step. And if we're willing to take the step, we'll realize if we'll stand there and stay there, that we're experiencing a level of him that we didn't in the previous season. So I'm declaring over you guys that you're wise people. Best Life Church is filled with wise people. We build families, we build businesses, we build communities. And through intelligence and insight, our enterprises are established and they endure. And I love what it goes on to say in verse 4. Because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of people are filled with the treasures of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth. Wisdom can make anyone, say anyone means me, into a mighty warrior, and revelation knowledge increases strength. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. So we got 10 more minutes. Anybody else got any more testimonies?
I will pass it to Shelby, but I just want to encourage everyone. I was on a walk the other day, running over to Safeway. It was Christmas Eve in the morning to pick up a few more things for my stockings. And there was this woman with a blanket walking. So I'm like, okay, she's either homeless or very, doesn't have any resources. So I saw her, and I knew I was going to pass her. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And because I shouldn't be hesitant. I'm always wanting to reach out to people, but I seem to be hesitant, but I wasn't going to be hesitant this time. She's right there. I mean, I can't just pass her up. So when I got up to her, I just said, hey, you know, we just kept walking. Hey, good morning. You know, where are you going? I'm going to Safeway to pick up two things. I forget what they were, like pickles and deodorant or something. I don't know. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And so we kept walking, and it was real rainy that day, remember? So I had my umbrella and I had some gloves and I said, is there anything that you need? And she said, no. And I said, well, is there anything that you need that I could pray for you? I changed it up. And she said, she stopped and she said, well, yes, you could pray for provision and safety. And I said, I can do that. And I reminded her that the Lord is her provider and he is her safety. And then, you know, it occurred to me, I have things that she could use. So I gave her $20, my umbrella, and my gloves. I said, God bless you, and then we both went on our happy way. But there's always an opportunity. Whether she really needed an umbrella or not, I needed to give it away.
So I'll make mine short, but you were asking about this last year. So I thought, there's a lot of things. No, there's a lot of things I have to be thankful for. But one of them was for a long time, we only had one vehicle. And then Dan got a motorcycle. And come rain or 118-degree weather, he rode his motorcycle to work to and from every day. And unless it was super rainy and we knew it was going to happen, then I would take him. And so, and the Aztec wasn't doing, it's still holding up just fine. But anyway, we were like, eventually we're going to need another car. And so I had just, you know, talked to the Lord about it. I'm like, God, you have blessed us beyond measure for years and years and years. For 19 years, we haven't had a car payment. And we had given a couple of cars away when we were first married, and this all of a sudden, like, these cars started coming to us. And it would always be right when we needed them. And so for 19 years, no car payment. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, the Aztec, what can we qualify for something? I don't really want to have a car payment. Maybe if we could find, you know, and I'm doing calisthenics in my head. Like, how do we make this work? And I thought, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of thinking about that. You have always taken care of us, and I'm just going to let it go, because whatever happens, happens. You're either going to provide a way for us to purchase a car, or you're going to give us another one, or whatever. And so, sure enough, in July, we get a call, and we had a family member who couldn't drive any longer, and the talk was they were going to sell it and split it between the grandchildren. Wasn't worth a whole lot, but then my grandma stepped in and said, nope, I want Dan and Shelby to have it. And so, again, God blessed us with a car. And so now we have two cars and a motorcycle, so he can choose to ride his motorcycle or drive. Anyway, so God's so faithful in that. And then I don't know if everybody knows, but my cousin, super close with their family, we grew up like siblings. And in June, the beginning of June, he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so he kind of went on a goodbye tour, even though we were all praying for his healing. And we saw miraculous things happen that doctors were like, why are you still alive? I don't know why you're still alive. And but anyway, in December, I had the opportunity to find a ticket for $32 one direction to go to Denver and then home again. So for under $70, I was able to go. I had a room provided for me. I was able to go and see him for the last time. And he did pass on December 23rd. But I was so thankful that I got that opportunity to see him. I literally was there for like 48 hours or less than. And I got to spend a couple of hours with him and his family, and it was just a precious time. And I think the most awesome part about it was he got the opportunity to say, you know, there were a couple times where they thought he's not going to make it through this day. And he, when he woke up, he was like, I went to heaven. And he talked about seeing my grandfather and my grandmother, and talked about how he went to a workshop and how he built some cool things. He goes, I don't even remember what it was, but it was perfect. And Grandpa said, you know, we don't have a lot of time. You have to go back. And so it was just awesome, the things that he saw and experienced. He got to come back and tell about what he had experienced. And I think it spoke volumes to my aunt and uncle, who have been very hurt by Christians in general and didn't understand why their life has been the way it's been. But to know that we have a loving God, I think that was so awesome.
That's the little things you were talking about earlier. Proverbs 24:3-5. Really, verse 3. But
there's many things that have gone on over the past year. I was just looking through my notes because I like to note things. And some of the things... Do what? Oh, that's okay. I can hear me. And so many times at work, I saw the Lord work miraculously and smooth things out in situations as I just prayed in tongues, and people getting things organized together, even when I didn't have my hand in it. I mean, the Lord gave me words to say to people at work that encouraged and uplifted and helped them to get through whatever it is they're going through, whether it be work-related or their personal life. And it's like the Lord has brought, I'd say, our family through a strange episode with our son Stephen, and we haven't seen in the physical the victory yet, but I know in my heart that, and the Lord gave me a vision of Stephen, healthy, happy, whole, praising the Lord, serving the Lord. Right now, he doesn't see that, but he will. Yes. And, you know, it's like 2016's been a year of ups and downs, but, I mean, even Donald Trump being president is a miracle. There's so many amazing things going on. So, yes, it's nice to look back and rejoice.
Anybody else? Last time? Going once? Going twice? Yeah.
As hard as I try, people are offended at me or whatever, and you know, and I never try to do any of that on purpose, but you know, I keep my mind, you know, I have my own others automatically, you've been working with me on that for 30 years.
Right, yeah.
You know? Versus just that. But that's what I see, is that, you know, like my mom, she'll say, you know, I can't see, I can't hear, I can't do this, and I say, well, let's focus on what you can do.
Yeah.
And be thankful for that, because there it can be worse, you know? So that's what I see.
Yeah.
2017, unless you,
Psalms 145. I was going to teach on this today, but okay.
This is just a small question.
Well, we're talking about some relatives that we know that have gone through some medical difficulties, you know, this year, and only a few of you have probably met my grandmother, but earlier this year, she was having some pretty rough issues with her bones. One of her, I guess it was her hip bone, had collapsed in on itself. Like, the bone structure just wasn't there anymore, and it started to basically kind of shatter, kind of like a eggshell, in a sense. So it made moving, sitting, walking, living very painful in almost all regards. So she recently had a hip replacement surgery, and, you know, she's in her 80s now, so usually those take a while to heal to begin with, but I tried to visit her as often as possible, and we basically prayed over her leg every time I saw her. And she was, after the surgery, which they expected to take quite a few months, maybe even a year, to fully heal, she has been walking without a cane or a walker within about, I think it was 2 weeks after the surgery, which they say they've never seen anybody recover that quickly. So that's just another point of God being faithful.
Awesome. Well, next week I'm gonna lay some things out. We're still in our series on authentic community. We'll pick it back up next week, but I'm gonna lay some things out what God wants to do in our church. And I was gonna read from Psalms 145 this morning. I'm just gonna touch on a couple of verses just to kind of point us. It starts off by saying that my heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you. Notice that that's a life posture. And then it goes on to say every day, verse 2, I will lift up my praise to your name with praises and will last. I'm going to just read this screen. It's a little easier. Hey, there it is. Every day I'll lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. I don't know whether you've thought about this or not. Yes, that means you'll praise him forever. But that also means that once praise leaves your lips, it never goes away. How large of a layer of praise can you lay in 2017? Because everything that comes out of your mouth, every time you open your mouth, every time you praise him, that stays perpetually. It's out there in eternity. It's there. It's out there. It's never coming back. It's there. Every time we get up in the morning, every time you praise him, every time you're sending another layer of praise out into eternity. It's there forever. how large of a layer of praise can we as individuals and as a church put in motion into eternity in 2017? But you'll notice that it says that's your posture for life. But then verse 3 says, Lord, you're great and worthy of highest praise. There's no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Notice that he reciprocates that. The more layers of praise that you set in motion, the more he allows you to discover things about him that you didn't see. See, you can't ever outgive him. He wants us to discover a whole lot. In fact, I want to make a big old banner hanging down the street. It says 2017, discover him. Because he wants us to discover things about him and from him that we didn't know before. But this speaks to your point, Kim. But notice what it says in verse 5 there. Skip down to verse 5. It says, your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. I can't get into everything that Psalms 145 is saying, but maybe we'll get into it in coming weeks. But notice that the reason why verses 1, 2, and 3 are happening is because verse 5 happens. What God wants to do in 2017 is he wants to shift our preoccupation. I think we kind of all talked about that this morning. He wants to shift our preoccupation to be him. And when we'll allow him to shift our preoccupation to be him, a lot of times that's going to mean you give up what you thought Christianity was. You give up what's comfortable for you for Christianity to be. And just make it be about him. And then be willing to do and walk with him wherever he walks. And in the process, what is he doing? He's giving you a testimony. It's rooting you into that place of being an overcomer. To where by the end of 2017, those things that you thought were a big hairy thing, it's just casual life. I mean, I wish I could get into more of this. There's so much in Psalm 145. It's just like a ripple. It started in verse 1 and verse 2, which was really anchored in verse 5, which is your personal life. But then it ripples out and it becomes groups of peoples. Then it becomes masses of people. Then it becomes nations. Then it becomes, he's given us promises and pillars of truth in Psalm 145 that you can hang your hat on and guarantee, such as generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and discover more of your glory. That isn't a maybe. Yeah. Did you notice that was a they will? Yeah. If God says something will happen, is it going to happen?
Yes.
How did all that happen? It started with you. All by yourself, nobody else around, making a choice to shift your preoccupation from what it is right now to being only him. As a result of that, that's all you think about is him. I meditate on your magnificent miracles every day of my life. From that comes your praise. When your praise goes out, you begin to set layers of praise in the eternity, in the eternal realm, and he unfolds discoveries about him that you've never dreamed you'd even know. As a result of that, everything else in Psalm 145 happens. But it all came from you. So let's, in 2017, let's set our face to discover him. Amen? Everybody stand up. Father, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is your presence and your power. And we thank you for all the, even the smallest things that you've done for us in 2016. But we understand that that's just merely all a part of you bringing into that which you've already seen us as. Because you've told us you've known our end from the beginning. So 2017 is simply a step in the journey to where you're taking us to land. And I thank you, Lord, that not only is this place right now occupied by those that want no other preoccupation than you. That's why they're here. But you're going to fill this house with wise people. That understand that as a wise person, you have declared that we are builders. We're builders of families. We're builders of businesses. We're builders of communities. And I just thank you and praise you for that. And I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives this coming year. And we just say yes. Just yes. And we thank you for the discoveries we're going to step into because of it. And everybody agree with that first? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.teachingministryofdanolan.com. bestlifechurch.org.